Saturday, November the 13th, was a complete escapist day, absolutely out of my life as First Lady. Brenda Byrd had come out from the university the night before. She climbed on her daddy's bed about 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and we had a good long talk. They have become more and more congenial and understanding of each other as she has grown up, and she is one of the great pluses, satisfactions in his life. She and I were going to indulge ourselves in a trip to see Indian pictographs. We talked about it all fall, and suddenly there was a free Saturday and enough daring to break the bonds of appointed duties. And so we were off in the Queen Anne with Dale Meeks piloting, and arrived at Alpine, Texas, about 10. The way it all came about, Charles Tunnell, one of those who wrote The President's Country about the life of early Indian tribes in Texas, prehistoric ones, had told me of interesting Indian drawings on caves in the Amistad area, the very arid parts of West Texas. And then Nancy Negley had said, oh yes, we have some Indian drawings on caves at my mother-in-law's ranch, the Cato Ranch. So this day, we were off to the Cato Ranch to see Indian pictographs. Mr. Cato, a lean, spare man with a white mustache and a very genial manner, met us at the airport, and his foreman, Travis Roberts, right up out of the earth of West Texas. Leather-skinned, craggy-faced, he looked like he could never have fitted in anything but Western clothes. We drove about an hour to their ranch. A small, unpretentious house, gay on the inside with Mexican paintings and rugs and bowls and old artifacts of the country. A little swimming pool on the terrace outside as you look up to a grand view of the mountains. We picked up Mrs. Cato, a great basket of picnic lunch, and started out in their car, a sort of station wagon equipped for hunting. A bed makes down, and there's a place for guns. Two Catos, and Linda Byrd and I, and Travis Roberts. And behind us, in a jeep, Mr. Roberts' two sons in the Secret Service. And then we began the most interesting 6 hours, just what I like most. West Texas was new to me. We drove through a dry valley full of staghorn cactus with what I thought at first were yellow blossoms. It turned out to be multitude of seed pods. It was bone dry, vegetation was sparse, and it looked like what was left over when the world was made. A few mesquite, desert willow, and suddenly behind one, a huge black-tailed deer, a buck almost twice as large as those we have in Blanco County. His ears were so big, and that is why they are called mule deer. This is a country beloved of archaeologists and geologists, and parties from all the universities come in the summertime on field trips. It was on one such field trip here at the Cato Ranch that the party unearthed a dinosaur over a period of several months, carted it off without the obliging Catos who'd given them permission to explore, and then asked the Catos if they would like to erect a building at the school to house the dinosaur. We were approaching the mountains, and it appeared that we were going right into them through a cleft with the delightful name of Doubtful Canyon. The road wound along the floor of the canyon where once and probably repeatedly year after year there is a stream. On each side, the walls tower into the most marvelous formations. One right in front of us was just like the entrance to a cathedral, striated and carved and dramatically standing forth like the masterpiece of some giant race of architects. And then they pointed out the donut hole, a perfect little hole, so many feet above us though that it was probably 6 feet across, with the ring of rock around it. And there was a mushroom, and there were all sorts of shapes for your imagination. The most delightful thing of all was the brilliant blue sky, bright sunshine, and the utter sense of being the only people who had ever found Doubtful Canyon. The stream was quite dry. There was a little more vegetation here. Walnut trees, yellow with a touch of fall. And as we rose, there began to be some white oak. And then some Mexican piñon. Small, picturesque, perfect Christmas trees, so many of them. The mule deer were plentiful. Travis Roberts said, do you think they'd like to see the rock that the Indians used to sharpen their tools? We did. We walked a ways toward an overhanging ledge, and there was a huge, round rock, scarred with many, many little wedges by long-dead Indians. How long ago, hundreds or is it thousands of years, had sharpened their spears and axes by drawing them back and forth through the little slit. On the ground below the rock were innumerable little pieces of flint, broken bits of their tools. It practically spoke to us, this rock. We could see where the big axes went, the small spear points. And Travis Roberts, who was full of stories about this country, one of the happiest things that can befall a man is to love the land he lives in, was telling us all about the geology, why this rock was suitable for that purpose. And they said, but we must go on and see some of the writings. Finally, we saw an overhanging ledge in the distance, made our way over the rough canyon floor, full of boulders, and here it was that I saw my first madrona tree, a beautiful specimen, ashy white, crooked trunk, very picturesque, loaded with bright red berries. Against that brilliant blue sky of West Texas, it was a breathtaking sight. Just beyond, on the ledge, we found the Indian pictographs, which were, after all, a rather primitive, unsophisticated tribe. Their colors red, black, sort of mustard yellow, their drawings geometric, simple designs. The floor of the ledge was black with smoke. The tunnel, our interpreter, our archaeologist, but they had probably used this as a shelter. This was the result of years and years of cooking fires. But now we were getting hungry, so we found a place on the valley floor covered with the white pebbles, white, smoothed by many years of water, and shaded with walnut trees, and set out our picnic table. Never have I enjoyed a meal more. This Cato had brought along a feast, ham and cheeses and delicious bread, and a big iced pail of Mexican Bohemian beer. It was after lunch that we found our most interesting Indian pictographs. Quite a way, possibly a mile, over very rough terrain from the cars, and Travis Roberts wasn't sure we wanted to do it. We did. So we walked almost straight up, so it seemed when you look back. We saw innumerable madrona trees, clambered around huge boulders, and finally up so steep ascent that I knew I would be frightened if I looked back. And then we were on a ledge, long, narrow, hugging the cliff with a big overhang that protected it from the weather. Here, for a length of perhaps two city blocks, there were drawings on the wall. One of the most interesting may have been a calendar. It was possibly 30 feet long, with little cross marks at rather regular intervals. These may have been the seasons of the year, Mr. Tunnel said, or possibly each one a year. Once more, the colors were red, ochre yellow, and black, and they were somewhat more sophisticated. With a little imagination, you could make out stick men. There were dozens, hundreds of them. We took pictures. We felt like discoverers. We were having a marvelous day. All the time we had been climbing, and the sotal, the staghorn cactus of the valley below, were giving way steadily to pinon. And there were madrona trees, particularly along the beds of little streams, their trunks so crooked and picturesque, gray to ashy white, before the bark flakes off a sort of a dull red, the berries the most brilliant red. Dozens, hundreds of them. I never expected to see so many. Finally, a stand of maples, their foliage still brilliant, crimson and scarlet, but a little past their prime. It excites me to think why they should be there so far from the ordinary habitat of maples. It's peculiar to a small area of the Big Bend country. By now, we're about 5,800 feet, and the high-altitude grass was abundant. The grama and the blue mealy, thick and knee-high. I wondered why the cattle didn't come up here. The view was magnificent. We were within sight of the Big Bend country, the Chisos Mountains, spread out across the skyline. But by all odds, the most delightful part of it was feeling that it was all ours. We were the only people who had ever been there. Many had, of course, Apaches and Comanches, a scattering of ranchers. And interestingly enough, it was close to here, at about the time of the Civil War, a lieutenant had led a camel expedition as he went across Texas, trying to see if camels would make good draft animals for the army in this part of the world. We descended into Chalk Valley. The mule deer were abundant. There were some of my old friends, the white-tailed deer. We saw a covey of blue-headed quail, dozens of them. Large birds with bright blue heads running along the ground before they flushed. They're said to be very hard hunting. Then, for the first time, I saw a coyote in the wild. He was really a rather bedraggled-looking animal, like a small, lean, brown dog with a bad disposition, running swiftly away from us. Mm-hmm. And then, one of the biggest delights of the day, we saw a herd of antelope. They, too, were far away and very swift, their snow-white rumps bounding away across the floor of the valley. By now, we were tired and happy, and it was nearly 5 o'clock. So we said goodbye to Mr. and Mrs. Cato for a wonderful day they had given us. The Travis Roberts, no happenstance that his first name is Travis. His family's been a part of Texas since the days of William B. Travis and his two sons, and back to the airport, returned to the ranch, with Charles Tunnel explaining to us all the way something about the Indians whose primitive artwork we had seen. About 2,000 years ago they were, he thought, forerunners of the Comanches, and quite primitive. Back at the ranch, we found Jesse and Don Thomas, Jane and Roy Butler, and the staff, Jenny and Vicky, Jake and Marvin. We all had a good dinner and told tales of our adventures. And then I had my 9 o'clock appointment, Gunsmoke, and to bed, with that delicious sense of having shared a day with my daughter that was very peculiarly our own sort of day. Archaeology, exploring, being together.